cut me back on. Luke chapter 2, verse 6 is where I'm going to start. We know that Caesar Augustus sent out a decree that all the world should be taxed. So Mary and Joseph, who were of the house of David, the king, came to the city of David, which is Bethlehem. Micah prophesied from the Old Testament that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And so Jesus was born there, and we read about it. Verse 6 says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid." You imagine being outside working at night, and all of a sudden angels light up the sky. It's the end of the world. I mean, it's, what do they think? They were afraid. I'd be afraid too. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." That's the theme of the message for today. The good tidings, the gospel. That's what that means. That's the evangel the angels bring. The message of good tidings. The message that would result in great joy for those who are believers. He said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Keep his place there. We're going to come back. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm going to read you Scofield's notes on verse 16 on Christ being the Savior, how salvation is to everyone that believeth. The Hebrew and the Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, soundness. Salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes as justification, redemption, grace, propitiation, imputation, forgiveness, sanctification, and glorification. Salvation is in three tenses. The believer has been saved from the guilt and the penalty of sin. And then he is safe. The believer is being saved presently from the habit and the dominion of sin. And thirdly, the believer is to be saved in the sense of entire conformity to Christ. Glorified when we go home to be with the Lord and we gain a new body. The older I become, and the more I recognize how mistreated my body was when I was coming along, I long for a new body. I long for that deliverance from the body of death in which I live. We go back to Luke chapter 2. He said in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." That's just strips of cloth. It's not an uncommon thing for poor people to wrap their baby in such to absorb all the moisture, to protect the baby and such, lying in a manger. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Those are the kind of messages we should think about on Christmas. Think about celebrating Jesus Christ. Think about glorifying God for sending his son for us. Verse 15, "It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let us pray. Father, bless the reading of your word this morning to the hearts and lives of your people. Bless those watching on live streaming or who will later tune in and see this service today that we pray will be a true celebration of Christ. We ask for your help and we offer you our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Good news. Glad tidings. As Christians, it doesn't matter how dark the world becomes. It doesn't matter how difficult the circumstances that we are in. If we can shift our focus, there is good news that we have received and good news that we have to tell other people. Glad tidings. Zechariah heard glad tidings in chapter 1 when the angel came to him to tell him that he and his wife in their old age would have a son, and his name was to be John. He was the forerunner Isaiah spoke of that would come before the Lord Jesus Christ and declare his coming. And it was called good news or glad tidings. The angel told the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I'm thankful that the news that we have to share is not for one particular race or class of people. It is for all people. And all people who truly receive this message and begin to study the Bible and learn of the Word of God will become those who love one another regardless of the racial differences, the ethnic differences, the monetary differences. Rich and poor together can praise the Lord because we have salvation and we rejoice in it. A Savior. Thank God for the Savior. Now I want to mention more about the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me. 1 Corinthians 15 gives a definition of the gospel, the good news. Paul explained this to those at Corinth. He said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, and which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And then he begins to list all those over 500 brethren who saw the resurrected Christ. Jesus resurrected from the dead and appeared alive into the people for 40 days. And then after 40 days, Pentecost feast came. There, Christ ascended back into heaven, and the Holy Spirit came down to indwell those who believed the message of the gospel. The gospel is explained, salvation by grace through faith. It is definitely explained that it is not of the works that we do, but it is a gift from God. And we must receive that gift by faith. First, to witness of the message of the gospel. First, to share the evangel, to give out the good news, were the shepherds. They came and saw, and then they went away and told others. They told people what they had heard from the angels about this babe that was born, that he's the Savior. All the Jews were looking for the Messiah for 4,000 years. They'd been looking. Through each of the prophets, there was some explanation about the Messiah that would come. And they were in expectation all along. In verse 8 through 11, the Bible begins to tell us about not only the message of what they were given, but then what the angel said to them. In verse 15, they discussed between themselves, "We must go into Jerusalem and see this. We've been told these things by the angels of God, and we must go see what they said is true. They made haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe. We estimate the time of Christ's birth as being 22 years ago. The calendar set by the birth of Christ, year 1 AD. But man had not those dates. There were no calendars that listed that. There were no pictures in those days like we have today, other than hand drawings. And so a date was chosen to be year 1, estimating the date of the birth of Christ. Now, there's some debate about that because Herod the Great was on the throne at the time, and Herod the Great died at about 4 BC. And so somewhere in this range of time, it's like December 25th. We don't know the exact date. We don't know the exact year when our calendar started, but what we do know is that it's dedicated to Jesus Christ. And when we say 2022, that's in the year of our Lord. And that's the time we celebrate. AD is Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. They made haste to see, and they saw the babe. Some of you old-timers like I grew up in an age when things were a lot different than they are today. My parents had a four-room house with an outhouse that was a long way from the house. And we didn't have running water in the house. Little by little, my dad was able to put water into the house and build on a bathroom and things like that. But I remember in my day, I didn't worry about being poor and not having things because all my neighbors were in the same boat I was in. So I just thought that was normal. You know, everybody was like that. And we'd see somebody that had a brick home and had all the things indoors, we'd say, boy, that's a rich person, you know. They may have been poor as Job's goat, you know, but they had a few more things than others had. And in the day when Christ came, imagine the poverty of Joseph and Mary. They had to travel for a long distance, and by the time they got to the city, the little inn that was there was full. Their travel would have been slow with her being expectant and due at any time. And while they were there, the baby was born, and the only place they could find for the baby to be was in the feeding trough for the sheep and the cattle. And they laid him there. The Son of God, who received the praise and adoration of angels, condescended to come down and be born as a human babe to go to the cross to pay the debt of our sins. The message, though, is good tidings. The message is great joy. The message is a message of hope, a message of deliverance, a message of eternal life, a message of a home in heaven, a message that you can become a child of God, a son or a daughter. John 1:11 and 12, he came unto his own, but his own received him not, but to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. The shepherds went back to their flocks in verse number 20, and they were glorifying and praising God for what their eyes had seen and their ears had heard. And they were sharing the message with others as they went there and as they returned. We should never forget that today should be a day of rejoicing, a day of thanksgiving, a day of appreciation, that we show the Lord we love him and appreciate what he's done for us. Secondly, it's natural to share good news. You ladies get a deal at Walmart or Aldi. I shared the news the other week, hey, Aldi's got hams for 95 cents a pound. You know, they're bone-in, spiral-cut, Smithfield-type hams. I think it was a different brand. 95 cents a pound. They're normally $2.68 a pound. That was a good deal. I like to share good news like that. I told a lot of people what my wife texted me to tell me. Gasoline at the QT on Anderson Road in Mount Gallant was $2.57 a gallon. That's as cheap as it's been on those stations in a long, long time. Praise the Lord, the cost of gasoline has come down some. But there's a lot of news that's vitally more important that gets spread everywhere in the newspapers, the TVs, the news media of all types, like the war is over. Imagine the joy in the United States of America when all of the families knew their surviving troops from World War II were coming home. They were excited. They were in anticipation. They were watching. They were telling their neighbors of the good news. And that's the kind of news we have to tell about Christ and the gospel and what he has done for us. I got wounded very badly in Vietnam, and I had not written any letters, couldn't write, really. I was not in shape to do that for a while. They medevaced me from Vietnam to Japan to put me in a chest ward in the hospital. And when I landed in Japan, a group of people came in to see me, and they said, "You're going to call your mother." I said, "How can I call my mother?" And they said, "We'll get you a phone. It's collect, but you're going to call her. She's called the Red Cross wanting to know why she hadn't heard anything from you." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I bet she is worried." So I explained to her, you know, you don't lie to your mama, but you do. You know, "Oh, I'm not bad hurt, Mom. You know, I just got a little wound. You know, I'm okay. I'm going to be all right." I didn't tell her the severity because I didn't want to worry her. But it was good news for her to hear from me. Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." I ask you today, are you a witness of the good news? Are you sharing the gospel message with someone else, just like somebody shared it with you? We have in common with the shepherds and the wise men, we've heard the gospel, the good news, and we can tell the story of how God has saved us. You say, "I don't know what to say. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to tell somebody about it if they're not saved." All you have to do is tell people what's happened to you. The man who was blind, he didn't know all about Jesus to tell the Pharisees when they questioned him. But what he said was, "I was blind, and now I can see." And that's what's happened to us. God has opened our eyes. God has come to live within us. God has given us a message that we can share with other people. The Holy Spirit has drawn us together, has drawn us to the Lord to be saved. We didn't just start coming to church for no reason. God was dealing with our heart, and we saw a need in our life, and we came, and as we heard the word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We developed faith, and we believed the message that Jesus is the Christ. We can rejoice in that. It's the greatest of news to share. The shepherds didn't have theological degrees or great education. They were usually the lower class of people that were shepherds to watch the sheep. Often they were very young. You'll remember that David himself, when he was a lad, was a shepherd over his father's sheep. And while he protected those sheep, he killed a lion and a bear. And he said, "The same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this giant Goliath when I fight him in the same way." And God did. They were lowly shepherds. But when they heard that message and believed on Christ, they moved to the head of the class that day. They believed. And that's what's required of us. You see your neighbor's house on fire, you'd call the fire department, but you wouldn't just stand idly and wait. You'd go out and see what maybe you could do. 3 separate times I've saved people from drowning. Dove into the water, pulled somebody out, got them pumped out, got the ambulance there to help them. Didn't wait for a lifeguard to come. Didn't wait for somebody else to do something. I saw a need and I knew I could do something about it, so I stepped in and did. And that's the same way you are. You would do what you could. and we can share the message with people so they can be saved. The Holy Spirit has enabled us to tell the message of what's happened to us. Now, people today are much like they were 2,000 years ago when the message of Christ came into the nation in that day. Herod was sitting on the throne. The people were concerned about what it meant for the Messiah to be born. Rome was ruling over the Jewish people. They were allowing them to function in their religious beliefs. They had the high priest, they had the temple. Herod had even added to the temple for them. And he considered himself the king of the Jews. And so when he heard Messiah was come, he knew he would be the king. And he was concerned. He sent for the scribes and Pharisees to find where he was to be born. And they shared that the Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. But Herod didn't go worship him. Herod wanted to kill him because Satan was behind what he was doing. The shepherds came and rejoiced and praised God. Later the wise men came and brought gifts to him that is the king of the Jews. But the scribes and the Pharisees didn't come. They didn't seek him out and worship him. God is dealing with the hearts of men today, and some are seeking him because they've believed the message. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I was there. And my wife was there. I was wicked. My wife was just lost. She wasn't wicked like I was, but she was just as lost as I was. Somebody said, I read not long ago that, you know, we're standing on the planet Earth and there's not a one of us that can reach up to the stars. It don't matter how far up you can reach, you'll never reach there. And without God, we'll never be saved and go to heaven. We're all lost without the Lord. And some have heard the message and they're ignoring it as many did in that day. Ignoring the message of salvation. Ignoring that they are in themselves lost and on their way to hell. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 and 4 said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, lest they see the glorious light of the gospel and believe and be saved. And that Satan is the unholy God of this world that blinds men's minds. Men are in darkness and they are deceived. Some don't feel they have a need. They look at themselves and they judge themselves to be good people and not have a need for any change in their life. Some are severely like Nabal in Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool is saying, no God for me. And many today are that kind of fool that reject the Lord. They oppose Christ and salvation. They find fault with it. They believe another gospel. Herod was motivated by Satan and wanted to kill the Christ. Because he couldn't find who he was, he sent soldiers to slay many of the young children trying to destroy him. But you know, the angel had warned Mary and Joseph, and they had fled into Egypt to avoid that time when it would come. Others had no room for him. To me, that's a haunting story. No room in the inn. Now, I don't find fault with the innkeeper. It was a census that everybody had to return to their hometown. This inn was small, and everybody that was from there had to come back to there to be in a census and be taxed. And Mary and Joseph, with her pregnant, couldn't travel as fast as others. By the time they got there, there was just no place left. But we know there are many people today that could receive the Lord, but they have no room in their heart for him. Their lives are crowded because they're too busy. They're involved in too many things, or their hearts have become hard because they have continued to say no to the Lord over and over and over again. The inn was likely a very small place. And it because there was no room there, there was likely attached to it in some close location, this area for the animals. And it was there they laid the babe in the manger. Many people missed the celebration of the Savior's birth. Herod missed the celebration. The chief priests and scribes missed the celebration. The innkeeper missed the celebration. All Israel, except for the shepherds, missed the celebration of Christ's birth. Thank God you have not missed celebrating Jesus Christ on the anniversary of his birth as a time that we celebrate him and rejoice in what it means to know the Lord. Now today there's a lot of people having to work, can't be here at the service. Thank God we have police officers that are working today. Brother Jeff, I'm glad you got to be here. Praise the Lord for that. But many police officers are on duty. They have to work, and thank God they are working when trouble comes. The hospitals are open for business today. They're probably a little bit short-staffed. They try to let a few people off if they can. But with all the emergencies that people have with their health, they've got to have the hospitals open and the nursing home open. And the staff have to work. The emergency workers have to work. You would appreciate the ambulance drivers missing church today and being there in case you had to call one. And these old truck drivers, they're on the road all the time, 7 days a week. Some of them work continuously. They stop long enough to rest because they're not allowed to drive more than 10 hours a day. And they drive their 10 hours, and some of them have a co-driver, and they sleep in the cab while the other one drives, and then they switch off, and they're away from home for 5 days at a time, and sometimes even longer. And they're working because they're bringing all the goods that you bought for Christmas. Truck drivers had to deliver those things. The ships that come in at the harbor and all of the people involved in the transportation of goods. Thank the Lord you can go to a store near your house and get a gallon of milk and a dozen of eggs. My wife went to Walmart the other day and the eggs were down to just a few that were $6.50 a dozen. It was the free range, you know, eggs and all that. They were just eggs. You'd rather have eggs that are free range. That means you'd rather they go out and scratch up worms in the ground instead of eating corn ground up for them. They're just eggs. Many are missing the meaning of the good news today. Not just the birth, but the whole story of what 1 Corinthians 15 represented the gospel as. The message that he came, he went to the cross, he died for our sins. And also the message that he's coming again. As many were in anticipation for the coming of the Messiah in that day, we should be in anticipation for the coming of the Lord to call us to heaven to be with him forevermore. I want to share one more passage with you and I'll close. Look at Galatians chapter 1 with me in your Bibles. You at home, I hope you got your Bible and turn it on with me. I'll write it down and look it up later. Galatians 1 and verse 6, Paul writing to Galatia who was turning away from their beliefs and following into false teaching, said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And that means let him go to hell. As we have said before, and so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So the warning is there for men to know the Lord and believe the gospel message, and not to pervert the teaching of the Bible of what the gospel represents. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 22, I'll just quote that for you. 1 Corinthians 16, 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Anathema, Maranatha. What does that mean? It means let him be accursed, the Lord cometh. If people reject and will not believe, then let them be accursed because the Lord's coming. That's the message of the gospel. It is free by grace through faith to you who will believe. But if you choose to reject it, there is no other means of salvation. You can find some church that'll give you another method. How you can work your way to heaven, or you can buy your way to heaven through indulgences. Whatever it may be, don't you believe it for a moment. It's exactly what Paul was warning about. The Jews were perverting the gospel message, telling people they had to become Jews first. They had to do all the rituals of the Jews in order to believe the Lord. And Paul and the other apostles made an announced decision about that it's not true. That you come by grace through faith, and that's the way that we all come to believe on Christ and be saved. God will save you today if you confess your sin to Him and believe on Jesus, that He came, that He died on the cross, that He rose again from the dead, and He offers the message of salvation to all who will believe. They can come into the family of God, become the children of God. That's the great Christmas gift for us all. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of your people in being here today. I pray your blessings upon them. I pray their safety and travel coming and going. I pray that you'll remind us all to share the good news with others. And we ask you to help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.